from the first slide's got a swear word on it.
Having said that, I forgot what all those t-shirts were wearing.
We've got a new fangled angled app, which I'm very excited about. It basically allows me to change control by Mac. I love it. That's the whole reason I'm doing a talk, just want to play with it. It's amazing. Right. So, a bit of background, really. Just before Christmas, I realised that what I was doing was an absolute farce. The way I was working was just a joke. I was editing live sites. I was making a mess. I've never said the words, oh shit, so much in my entire life. Just before Christmas, I made a massive blunder. I think about 60 times in a row, I just sat at my desk going, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit. So I changed my process, hence this talk, really. So please work. I love that. Right, who the hell are you? What the hell are you going to talk about? What the hell is the workflow? Well, that is Git, and so this is basically just... So me, that's me. That photo was taken about a week ago. I think it was about 9. I had a side cut, side parting, bowl cut, thanks, Mum. Richard Tape, yes, that is my surname. I have heard all of the jokes, Sticky Solo Masking Video. Come up with the best. So people, my friends call me Sticky, so... that nickname is stuck. I've been working with WordPress for over 3 years, thank you, Mike. Professionally, but I've actually been using it for about 5. But I've sort of set up my own thing shop recently. That's me on Twitter, recently changed from myunfriendly.com. And then I'm sorting my own site out, which is rich.is, which I think is just a very self-indulgent domain name. So, this is quite an important bit as to what I'm not going to talk about. First thing is my workflow isn't the one true way. I'm not advocating any particular thing. I'm just saying that you should have your own idea of a workflow. I'm not saying that what I do is right. It's right for me. It might not be right for you. There's a big difference. That you should copy what I do without having a basic understanding. So there's no point in just seeing what I do and think that's a great idea. I'm just going to do exactly what he does. It must work. It's brilliant. You need to understand what you're doing first. And last but most certainly not least, I am absolutely not saying that Man City deserved to win the Premiership this weekend. Moving swiftly on. So what the hell am I going to talk about? So what is a workflow and why do I need one? What I was doing this time last year, it's kind of a confessional, really. Yes, you will all say that. I am an idiot. You may already have your own idea. You may already have your own workflow. And you might be wondering, what are you talking about? Stop talking, you're boring. And because you can't leave now, because it would be rude, because you're English, or you're in England anyway, so you're going to have to listen to me anyway, so it's a shame. So I am actually going to crack out a dictionary definition of what a workflow is, but it's not a normal standard Oxford dictionary, it's actually a computer dictionary. And it says, the scheduling of independent jobs on a computer, which kind of makes sense. And then number 2, I don't really understand. The set of relationships between all the activities, blah, 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 nonsense. The third thing, which actually does make sense in the long run, are the movement of documents around an organisation for purposes including sign-off, evaluation, performing activities in the process, and co-writing. So, what does that mean in English? The way I see a workflow is how you go about your day-to-day tasks and the systems you put in place to allow you to do those tasks more easily. So, it sounds quite all-encompassing. But some of you might not have a generic thing that you do for every project, and you might be thinking, well, maybe I should have one, but I'm not entirely sure what that is. And the whole point of this talk is to encourage you to spend the day, that's what it took me to sort this out, and now I'll never ever go back, and I can't believe that I didn't do it 12 months ago, speaking of which. Okay, so I was a Mac convert around about 2 years ago. I'll never go back, I just think they're amazing. Things just work, as per the advert. So my local setup is a MAMP setup. If for those that aren't really developer inclined, basically the M stands for Mac, and then Apache, MySQL, and PHP. That's the basic setup which most WordPress developers and designers work locally on. Apache being the server that one of which WordPress can run on. MySQL, which is a database which by default WordPress runs on, and PHP, the language which WordPress is written. It's all going backwards. You got it. It turned upside down. Right. It was a WordPress multi-site install, and each project was a new site, and it was all in subdirectories. So it'd be local.rich/project A/project B, that sort of stuff. But the live sites were all on multi-site again, but they were all subdomains, so they were entirely different, which my brain is quite simple, so it didn't like that. So when I was happy with the work that I'd done locally, I'd FTP it, or XFTP if that's your ball, I'd cross my fingers and I'd sacrifice a ghost in the hope that it wouldn't break. It literally would be a case of putting it on either a client servers or my own and hoping. There was no staging, there was no intermediary process, it was literally from my computer to live.
Why would that not work?
Say for example, well, it's really hard to have an exact setup locally, the exact same as a live server. So for example, I'll say it's not hard, but it's not common, especially if you're going to have using multiple servers. Those multiple servers are generally going to be different in the way they're set up. Maybe even different operating systems, maybe different database schemas, all sorts of different things. It's very hard to have replicate that locally. And even though your code might work locally, the server setup might interfere, might interact with it in a different way to what you're expecting. So if you develop something, put it onto a live server, which is a different setup, it might just break. It doesn't always, but it can do. So yeah, this is true. For edits, I'd either edit the file locally and re-upload it, or if I was in a rush, I'd edit the file on the live server. Yes. I was actually live editing, so I should probably have a cowboy hat on when I was doing that or something, but yes, I'd probably go straight to hell. And for the databases, local and live sites were entirely separate. So whenever I made projects and stuff and post some pages locally, I then have to recreate them on the live site. Okay, so double my workload.
So we're down here.
There's a picture of a goat, because I sacrificed goats. So live file editing. Genuinely, I did edit on large, generally high profile clients. I was live editing files. I've been paid quite good money for doing it as well, which made me feel even more guilty. So yes, I was an idiot. You are free to laugh. But I think people that are actually here, that professionals, will actually say that they have probably done it once or twice.
We've done it here.
Okay, so just before Christmas, I had a massive failure. It all went horribly wrong. I literally sat at my desk and said, oh shit, probably 50 times. I didn't know what to do about it. It was on Friday afternoon, as it always is, 4 o'clock. I was just about to go away for Christmas. I pushed this thing live and it broke. And I then spent the next 9 hours, that was at 5 o'clock, the next 9 hours making it work. So I didn't finish that work that day until 2 o'clock in the morning. My girlfriend's not happy. So now, what am I doing? This is might all sound a bit gibberish to start with, but I'll explain. Okay, so now all my source files, so including the WordPress core files, are version controlled in Git, stored in local repos in GitHub. Like I said, if it all looks a bit gobbledygook, then we'll explain. I make all my edits locally, and this is true. Even though I'm a sysadmin on my server, I've intentionally revoked my rights to edit files directly on the servers. I can no longer edit files live on the server. I can't do it. I commit to a local Git repo, push to GitHub, then by some magic, when I push to GitHub, GitHub goes, okay, cool, I'm going to... It interacts with a script on my server and automatically pulls those changes from GitHub onto my staging server. Again, if you don't understand what that is, I'll explain. And if happy on staging, then it goes to live. So, all these words just seem to be nonsense if you don't really know what they are. Git is a version control system. So, I think most of you will be familiar with WordPress's revisioning system. So when you have a new post or a page, it gives you, if you edit it, it gives you the revisions of it at the bottom. Have you all seen that? Do you know what I'm talking about? Yeah? Git is kind of like that for your source code. So you can think of it that way anyway. It keeps track of all of the changes that you make. So it means you can revert back to any previous state that you want to, as long as it's tracked. Repo is short for repository. It's sort of like a database. It's not exactly the same, it's sort of like it. When you make files for change, when you make changes to files, you commit them to your repo. So when you commit something, you are literally committing to saying, I'm happy with this file, I'd like it to be saved. I'd like you to save the changes that I have made and keep them. So if I make it, when I eventually bugger up in the future, I'd like to revert back to the state when I know all's fine and dandy. So like I said, if you make a mistake, you can simply roll back. So again, it's like the revisioning system. If you've made edits to your post or page and you want to go back to the one that you had 2 days ago, which was much better, then you just press a button and it goes back to the way it was. Sort of like an undo feature for your files. Really. Staging. Does anyone know, does anyone not know what I'm talking about with regards to what a staging server is?
Yes.
Okay. So the easiest way to explain it is if you've got a local setup, so you're literally your computer, your Windows or Mac PC at home, and you have your live server, those two are completely separate, right? And like I said, you can send things from your local machine to the live server and it may break. But if you have a staging server, it's in the middle. So it's something which isn't publicly accessible, but it has, ideally, an identical setup to the live server. So you send it from your local site to the staging server, make sure the changes that you've made are okay, and then if they are identical, and ideally they will be, then you know if you press a button which says send to live, then it will be absolutely fine. So it's sort of like a fail-safe, if you like. Dead man switch. And deploy, basically, is literally a case of, in essence, pressing the big red button and saying, I'm happy, go. This will all make a bit more sense when you actually see me doing some things later with a live demo, which could only possibly go well. So, I don't FTP anything. So, I don't make changes locally and then use an FTP program. It's all done locally, sent to GitHub, and that handles it all. And I'll show you. So, one of the demos I'm going to show you is, if I want to install a plugin on my live server, I don't install it on my live server. I install it on my local computer, send it to GitHub. GitHub does its thing, and it's on my live server for me. So, because of that, FTP is actually disabled on my live server, which makes it a little bit more secure. Not a lot, but a little bit's a good thing. Same with themes. If I want to install a new theme, or if I'm making a new theme, so that's why I am, I'm a theme developer. All done locally, sent to GitHub. There's a picture of Beard. What about content? Which someone asked on the mailing list a few weeks ago. And that's actually a different beast, really, altogether, because the way WordPress handles content. So by content, I mean posts, pages, and the images and the media that you attach to those. And even then, in some cases, maybe your theme settings as well, depending on if you're using your premium theme and how that handles it. So, because, in essence, it's a database, and therefore there's no flat files, there kind of is, but it's a bit complicated. And I don't really understand it, so I'm not going to talk about it. You can't really do what I'm doing, you can't send a file somewhere for it to be dragged down elsewhere. It doesn't really work like that. What I was doing sometimes was doing a database dump. You may have heard that term. It's literally a case of grabbing the whole database that you've got locally, doing a copy and find and replace, changing the local domain name to the live domain name, and then re-uploading it to the live server, and it all goes horribly wrong. Or you can literally just make the content. So add new posts, copy the what you've got locally to the new, and it takes forever and a day. I don't work for these people. I don't say that you should spend the money on this plugin, but this is what I do. And it's literally changed the way I work with WordPress. It's a plugin called Ramp by CrowdFavorite. The guys are really CrowdFavorite, Mike said earlier, they really are good, they make good products. And I can't really explain this plugin better than their video, so there's a bit of luck.
Introducing the exciting new tool for WordPress. For example, this is Kamacha, who brought a page, edit a navigation menu, update the home page, and post an announcement of their blog all at once, just a few simple clicks. For Ramp, how could you stage content? Well, you could copy and paste between two windows, do a database dump. You could even avoid a staging server altogether and just take down your site and all of your content. Forget that. Ramp's designed to make it easy for you to move content. pages, host users and taxonomy, from the staging server to your live sim. Just update the content on your staging server. Use RAMP to reveal what's different between the two sites. Create a batch. Pick just the changes you want. And send that batch one click. What if you make a mistake? Don't even worry about it. One click, RAMP allows you to roll back the changes from the last batch. RAMP can be purchased on the crowd favorite support options available. RAMP. Easy content deployment for WordPress.
So many. But genuinely, it does exactly what I do for my files for WordPress content. So when I saw that, I was like, amazing, how much is it? And then I literally went, what? It's $249, which is not cheap. It's 170 quid. And I will briefly talk about it. There's a free version of it. But the main reason why I bought this was because I knew the background of Proud Favourite. I knew they were good. I briefly spoke to some of their developers about what it could do. And the last thing, which is actually on their site, it says it has a developer API, which for those devs among you, allows you to, any theme or plugin you make, the actual plugin does content and custom fields by default, as well as some other few bits and bobs. But if your theme has got settings, then that, because it can't really interact with everything possible, but because it has a developer API, you can very easily add it. So when you use RAMP, you can actually say, hey RAMP, these are my settings. Please keep track of these as well. It's really easy. And that, for me, made a massive difference. There is a free alternative by a guy called Mark Maunder. It's called Deployment. It does a very similar thing. It doesn't have the developer API, and it doesn't have, I don't think it has the rollback. It didn't anyway when I last looked. But it does still allow you to stage content, so it is very good. It just wasn't right for me. So this is a Kernia whale. Right, okay. What I'm going to do is break everything.
Right. Have you power on?
Just full power on. That's
all. Alright, cool. Thank you. It's a good start. Right. So now I'm at a tiny resolution, aren't I? Right, brilliant, this is even different. Okay. So, that's the app I bought today, it's amazing. Recommend it. Okay. Do you know what GitHub is? Feel free to say no. GitHub, okay. So, like I said, Git is a version control system, like a database. GitHub is basically a website, it's actually a front for an app, which allows you to have store your Git repo, so your database of files, online. Okay? And that isn't actually what I wanted to show you. I've got loads on there. Most of them private. I have some which some projects that I have, some plugins and some random things that I've developed are on there. So it's becoming very popular at the moment as part of our open source culture. There's actually a clone of WordPress. The WordPress guys who develop WordPress use a different system called Subversion. And there are some movements in the community to move everything to Git, but I don't know what happened. But there's a clone on GitHub of the WordPress SVN, so the trunk, what Mike was talking about earlier. But basically, it's literally a database of your files. And it allows you to interact with them very easily. And what I'm going to show you is exactly what I mean. So this is one of my local environments. You can see it in the title called local.wppe. Okay, so you'll see, handily, because I've set it up, there's a plugin update. So this isn't me online, this is just on my Mac. Right, so there's a plugin update, so I'm fairly sure you're all going to be relatively, this is not going to work, you're all going to be relatively familiar with updating plugins. So that's now not worked. Brilliant. Why did it work earlier and not now? Well, I'm going to cheat. Never do this. I don't believe that.
I've seen that.
I tested it like four times at home.
Create the directory manually, and then it worked.
It's not, it's because you can't remove the old, it's basically it hasn't got the right plugin folder for some bizarre reason. Never ever do this, and because I'm using Git I can roll back later. But never ever ever do this. No, you bastard.
Why devils?
What could possibly go wrong?
Just realised I'm in the wrong session.
That's a joke.
Cheers, Steve. So this is me again working locally, so now I've just updated Akismet, so it's now the latest version.
Yeah, that was the one that had the problem with Akismet. Yeah.
Was it?
So if they couldn't delete it.
It worked! Literally 2 hours ago, it worked fine.
Yeah.
Can I ask a silly question?
Yeah.
You updated that plugin with a link, it's hyperlink.
Yeah.
And yet you work locally, so where did the update come from?
Well, when you update a plugin, it has to come from central repository of WordPress. Right. Ask them from the extent.
So, when you say you're working locally, so you actually are online?
Yes.
The update's coming from...
Yes, yeah. but that change hasn't affected any website that I have. That change...
Oh, that website's a local one.
Yeah, that website's only affected my Mac at the moment. Right, okay, so to prove a point, this is the live version of this site. I'll refresh if you don't believe me. So you'll see Akismet hasn't been updated. Right, because that was 3 hours ago I did it. But now, do you know what? I've just realised. Just make my service is going wrong.
You can say shit if you like a few times.
Okay.
Well, what's that thing? Nothing can possibly go
wrong. Nothing
can
possibly go wrong. Right, fantastic. Right.
So the main thing is, it's only going wrong on your local server.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. So it's true.
This is me now basically pushing the changes which should have just happened to Akismet to my live server. Normally takes about 30 seconds. I can't believe this isn't going to work.
No.
In fact, it can't because it's not going to be changing. Why isn't it working? Oh, no. I hate you. Okay. Change of plan.
Better to change a theme file than a module file.
No, it. I don't understand why. Am I in the right folder? Yeah. Anyway, I've worked swimmingly. Live demos never ever work, do they?
Yep.
Well, not when people are watching.
So what should have happened is, without me touching anything, basically, update locally, it then gets sent to GitHub. GitHub then goes, some changes have happened. Okay, I'm going to fire off a command to a script, which basically just runs what's called a Git pull. So it pulls all the changes from GitHub to my staging server. Absolutely devastated that hasn't worked.
Do you have to write the stuff to get it to move to the
actual
GitHub and your staging server?
You don't actually have to do that. You can manually do it on your staging server by just typing in one command, which is just git pull. But because I'm lazy, I wrote a script which is about 6 lines long, which does it automatically for me. So I'll show you. Basically, there's millions of options for GitHub. One of which...
Unfuddle. That sounds good.
unfully yeah, there's loads of different terms. Oh, I know why it hasn't worked. It's don't panic. It's all good. It's all good.
British, how does it commit to your local repository?
I commit to my local repository.
Right.
And then I then tell GitHub what I've done.
So part of that process, and the first thing you did was update the plugin.
Yeah.
The next stage would be update your local repository.
Yeah.
When did that happen?
Okay, when you saw me panicking and going into the console.
Oh, right. So
that's basically my next slide in a bit when I go back to the presentation.
Right.
I do most of this stuff in the console because I'm now quick with it, but I used to hate the console. I was properly fearful of it, and I used to use graphical user interfaces for everything. But I've kind of, I got kicked into learning it, and it is a godsend. But I'll explain that in just 2 seconds. But basically, look, there's a service hook, it's called a webhook, and whenever I tell GitHub that I've updated something, it fires off, I'm not going to show you the whole file name, but it fires off a command to this script here, which then basically says, okay, cool, there's some changes, I'm going to pull those changes to my server. Okay, so that's all it does. It's very simple, and it never ever breaks. I hate you, right. Okay, so the second demo really is, also not working. Basically, this is a theme that I've started to work on like the other day. And I have my own framework for themes and whatever. So what I'm going to do, basically, is make a change locally, which you'll be able to see. This one will work. Absolutely will definitely work. Please work. So, what I'm going to do is basically edit the front page. So, this is my local version of this site. Okay, so it's a mess, right? But what I'm going to do is hide everything. So, I'm literally just going to get rid of everything. So now, it's black, right?
Yeah.
But...
that was quick.
It's easy to break things. So this is the live version of this thing. Right, okay, so this is the local version, as you can see up here.
Nothing's better than something.
Silence is gone. And this is the live version on the internet, which is publicly accessible. Okay, so that's still there. However, please work. You can tell I don't really use this machine to work on. So I'm just going to... I'm making excuses already.
Git push.
So, okay.
Git set.
Yes. Right, so I'm not going to explain Git because that's what this talk is not about. If people want to learn more, I'll happily talk to you about it more, but this is about the workflow. So what I've just done is I've modified front page, and Git's gone, you've modified front page. So what I'm now going to say is, okay, yeah, I'm happy with those changes because I love having nothing on my front page. I'm going to add that to my local repo. I'm then going to commit that, I'm now committed to making those changes. I'm going to write a message. Revert back later. It's going to go out. And then I'm going to push those changes to GitHub. Now. It bosh. So now GitHub, with a bit of luck, only takes a couple of seconds.
Git bosh.
There you go, see? Revert back later, this can only go well. Yeah?
Oh.
So GitHub now has those changes. It then takes 30 seconds or so for GitHub to fire the deploy hook. For my server to go, I've got to do something. Pull in those changes. And hopefully, me blabbing on for about 30 seconds now, it should have updated. Yeah! Right, there we go. So that's with absolutely no changes on the live site by me. That's all done locally, all pushed to GitHub, and all really easy to revert back. If I wanted to revert back to the previous messy state, it's a one-line command to revert back. But like I said, this isn't about that. This talk isn't about that. But it's literally a case of going... in essence, undo. Okay. So.
Can you exclude anything from what gets?
Yes, there's a file called .gitignore. So, for example, my well, I won't show you it, but I ignore the wp-config file because locally and development and local and live site is going to be different for that. We have different databases, and then I actually ignore all of the media that's uploaded. So, in your wp content upload, so entry, I ignore all of that because RAMP deals with that for me. So. I'm glad the second one worked, because it would have been a horrible, horrible thing.
Could you have Windows on one machine and then Linux on another?
Yeah, because I mean, my live servers run Ubuntu. Right. Yeah, obviously I'm on a Mac. So that's the reason why I have a staging server, because they're different. Different versions of Apache, different versions of MySQL, different versions of PHP.
Yeah.
Everything. Different operating systems. So that's why it's good to have a staging server.
Sorry, just quickly to clarify, in that particular example, what you were showing us was your staging server, or
yes.
In that case, it's deploying to live?
Yes, no, that's a staging server.
Okay.
So, significantlybetter.com is my staging server.
Okay.
Again, it's another self-indulgent domain name. The live server for that is friendlythemes.co.uk. So, if I was happy with those changes, I'm not, obviously, so I don't want to push that to live. My partner would be very happy with that. I'd literally just press one button, and it would send to live. Okay, so all of this setup, the one that broke and then worked, took me around about a day to research, find out whether it was possible, how to do it, and read about Git, and then about another day to actually realise I knew nothing. All that I'd learned beforehand was actually a bit of a mess, and actually thought, you know what, sorry, I'm just going to try. And so basically 2 days I'd set up this workflow, and it has literally changed my life. Before Christmas, if I had to make a new site, I'd have to go through the whole process of setting a new site on Git, a new site on WordPress, and then making all the changes, making all the test content, uploading that, crossing my fingers, sacrificing a goat, making the real content, and then basically having to do everything twice, and have no real way of going back. If I made a change, say if I made a change on a Friday, and I'd done my tests, and this happened countless times. I'd done my tests on the files that I changed, I thought, those changes look fine. Come Monday, get an email from a client, you know, the changes you made on Friday, well, for some reason, somehow, the lords of the internet have just decided that this has broken something else. Yeah, I've closed all those files that I've opened, so I can't press Command Z anymore, Control, I can't undo anything anymore, I've got to re-engineer all the changes I've made. I don't have to do that anymore, now it's a case of going, well, right, okay. I don't even say oh shit anymore. I just go, and it reverts back to where it was on Friday morning, and I can even see the changes that I made. There's a thing called diff, which allows you to literally differentiate between the changes that you've made. You can just go, oh yeah, that probably broke that. I'll ignore that bit and have all the rest. It's brilliant.
Brilliant.
Right. Is that anyone well? The console. I know. It looks a bit scary when you start, but you don't have to use a console. I didn't start with, I hated it, it said. But if you're on a Mac, there's actually a GitHub app. Or there's another one which is also really, really good, which is what I started with, called Tower. The GitHub one's free. Tower costs like $10, $20 or something. If you're on Windows, you're using the wrong computer. But if you're on Windows, then there's two. There's one called Git GUI, which I think is a brilliant name. And then people that will know of some version on Windows will know of a program called Tortoise SVN, but there's actually a Git version of that. Right, so at the moment it seems that I'm very much a one-man band and that all these changes are for one person, but I actually work as part of a team for some of the projects. So how does that work? Well, the way that I do it, and it probably isn't the right way to do it, but it works for me, is, so for example, for Friendly Themes, it's me and another guy. So we both have our own local Git repos, we both have our own local databases, which are kept in sync by GitHub. And then we each have our own what's called a branch. In essence, it's a completely separate database. So I work on one branch, Andy works on another branch. And then when we think we've finished, we then merge those two things together. And Git does it all for you. rather magically. Don't know how, don't care, just works. It's amazing. So then all our changes, which we've been working on completely separately, get merged together, bosh, it all works. It all comes together and it all works. It's amazing. I don't know, it's just amazing. So like I said, it's merged as and when. And if during the day Andy goes, oh, I need to see what you've done so I can make some changes, it takes 30 seconds to merge the two things together, to send it to GitHub. GitHub then goes back to his computer. He can then see everything that I've been working on. Brilliant for teams. Backups. Well, I'm nearly finished anymore. Well, your code, so all of your themes, plugins, and your WordPress core, is actually stored on GitHub, so you've already got a backup. That's already part and parcel of a backup. And for me, RAMP handles up all my media, so that's done as well. But because I'm paranoid, I use a plugin called Backup Press, which again is a premium thing. It costs like 20 quid a year, but in essence, it's it backs up your database for you on a regular period, and uploads it to the cloud. And if something breaks, it allows you to revert back. So just like you can with my files, I can do it with my database using Backup Press.
What about going back several versions?
Yeah, it stores, off the top of my head, I don't know how many versions it keeps, but it's at least 10 I've seen. So if you've made loads of edits, you can revert back to something that was a month ago or what. There's a kind of free alternative called WP DB Manager. That's on the WordPress repo. I don't think it allows you to revert back to versions. And actually, since I made these slides, a while ago, I've started to use a thing called WP Backup to Dropbox. Dropbox is an amazing service. I won't extol its virtues. If you've never heard of it, go to dropbox.com, watch the video, you will want it.
Yep.
It's brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's free for a few gigs. And what this does, basically, this plugin, it backs up my database, sends it to Dropbox, I don't do anything. It just means that I've got, and Dropbox itself is actually a version control system. So my database is backed up three different locations, my files are backed up in three different locations, plus I have my local stuff, plus it's on the staging server, plus it's on the live server, plus it's at GitHub. So I am covered. If all of that breaks, I'm just going to give up on the internet. and I have a cron job as well, so if any of you know what cron job is, you know what that is. So because I've been boring internet for the last half an hour, you've probably forgotten everything I've said, so having a workflow you are both comfortable with and that you stick to is more important than what your workflow actually is to start with. What I'm trying to say to you is, have a workflow. Actually do something about every project you have. Have a system. Put some systems in place where what you're happy with. And then evolve that as you go along. Like I said the other day, I added that Dropbox thing. No, don't be upside down. Use a version control system. Spend a day learning about them. There's loads. Subversion, Git, Mercurial. Help?
CVS is the old one.
Yeah, loads. Thank you. Learn about them. Choose which one you think is best for you and use one. They are a godsend. Never, ever, ever, ever edit files on a live server. Yeah. Ever. Like, have a fallback plan. Today I had, if my Mac would have broken, I had all my stuff stored in Dropbox, which I could have just hopefully put on my computer. So don't just think everything will be fine. It won't. I'm so depressing. Don't just jump straight to something. Do some reading about it first. So don't just think what he's done actually sounds all right. He may have waffled a bit, but we're going to look into it. Actually do some reading. Thank you.
Oh, that's really good. Thank you.
WordPress is safe. There's credits for all the pictures and stuff I use on there. But if you were interested in,
I was going to ask you a question. You have a pull hook on your server.
Yes.
Would it be too much for you to share that?
Uh, Live node.
Obviously, you remove your login credentials and all of that. The generic version, so that I'm kind of on the process of doing something similar. It's just one of those steps that I haven't had a chance to look into in detail.
The absolute basics of it are, in essence, GitHub, when it says, when I push to GitHub, it goes, okay, cool, fires off a hit at this script, and it sends data to this script. It actually sends, it logs in one of three IPs. They changed their IPs recently, which is a breakthrough. But my script checks for that it's coming from one of these three IPs.
Yeah.
If it doesn't, then it goes, no, stop being an idiot. And then basically it runs a Git pull. That's all it does.
Okay. Straight from PHP.
Yeah.
Cool. Just say it's really good. I'm really glad that you had all the hassle before Christmas, and that triggered this change in behaviour. It's really good presentations, just the sort of thing that these events are for. It's all about changing behaviour.
Yes.
Getting into different habits. I'm really interested. The best bit that I saw in there was that you actually revoked your admin access on the server to prevent yourself from editing live servers.
Yeah, my friend basically owns the servers. And I said to him, look, this is what I want to do. I want you to have the password to be able to edit live files. We set it up, it's quite a long process, but it was completely worth it. So I literally am totally unable to edit files on the live server, kind of. That's a lie. There's one file I can change, and that's the GitHub deployment file, because I have to update the IPs now again.
But you revoked the permissions. If you ever wanted them back again, do you have to go to somebody else,
yes,
or can you do it yourself?
I have to ring my mate at 2 in the morning.
No, I mean, even if you did know what the password was and you could go back yourself, it's still a good habit to get into just by setting up your normal working environment that you can't do certain things. Of course, to get the emergency, you can then.
Yeah. So many times in the last couple of months, it would have been easier for me to make a very quick adjustment to a client site on a live site. It would have literally possibly been quicker. In fact, probably almost certainly been quicker, just to go, made a typo, adjust it, fine. I can't do that. And it's a change of attitude, like you said. But it might sound like, well, you're spending more time doing it. Well, yeah, say if I made those changes to a live site, I haven't got any backup, I haven't got any versions of that. And say if the changes I make screw loads of things up that I don't recognise straight away. Now I can just simply revert back very, very quickly, whereas before I couldn't have done that.
And although it might be quicker, but if it goes wrong...
I honestly believe this way of doing things has saved me thousands of pounds in the last few months. Because I'm not duplicating stuff anymore, I'm not doing the same thing multiple times. It's just a much quicker... In the long run, it's much, much quicker. It's very American, isn't it? Time is money. And it saved me so much time. I honestly think it saved me thousands of pounds.
And your girlfriend's going to help you.
Just a couple of, slightly technical things. So I have a workflow for some of my clients, not for many, and I'll hold my hand up and say I very often edit on live site, on live server. But for a couple of projects that are very big and actually have got a team working on them now, I use Subversion, but I don't automate anything, so I manually have to do the pull, the equivalent pull. But what I do is I use Subversion labels.
Okay.
So I might make multiple changes over the space of a day or two to achieve some functionality, to change the theme in some way. And then I will effectively make a mark in my revision control to say, this is a version I want to release, just like WordPress has its 3.1, 3.2 and so on. And then I'll go to the live server and pull down that marked version, that label, so that multiple changes will come down the line. But I know where that is. And again, if I need to, I can roll back, and I'll roll back to manually to whatever the previous label was. Does Git support labels in that way?
I am not a master of Git at all. I've literally been learning it for 6 months. But yes, the answer to your question is yes. It has two different ways of doing it. It has either tagging or branching.
Okay.
Don't know a great deal about tagging. but branching, basically, you can have infinite branches.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you can just do minor changes on a branch, and you can merge that in at any point you want to, and then you can even do branches of branches as well.
Sure.
That's just the way we do things. But the reason why I chose, initially, why I chose Git over Subversion, and this is, again, quite technical, was because when I was looking, I think it's different now, I'm told, but when I was looking, Subversion made hidden folders in each folder.
Yep.
So if you have your WP content folder, your WP admin folder, and your WP includes folder, Subversion would add a folder in each one of those three and all of its and all of their subfolders. Whereas Git just has one in the root. I'm a bit obsessive. I have my knives, forks, spoons, and little spoons in the right order. I'm very obsessive about the same sort of thing when it comes to the code. So I like having it one neat place.
Subversion stuff does that. Yeah.
I'm told you can actually change it now. So it does. It has a core, but I don't know about it. That's what I'm supposed to.
I might need to learn how to do that.
Yeah.
Because it does cause problems. So, for example, in the sites that I use Subversion on, I can't press that update Akismet button because I'll lose my Subversion subdirectory, and therefore no longer will it be revision controlled. So. I'm going to have to bloody learn Git.
How
do
you manage kind of sub-modules in your Git? I mean, so each project, you have your own independent Git repository. How do you kind of like, okay, I want to use this plugin, but I don't want to be continuously having to update it manually. Just pull in the changes. I mean, have you gone into that part yet?
Well, basically, what I do, I have my own clients. I work with another guy as part of Friendly Things, and I work with another guy as well, which is a WPE thing that you saw me break. Or not break, actually, didn't work, did it? So I've got three completely separate, I've probably got more, but I'll show you. I've got three completely separate sites locally. So you can ignore the top two, they don't really exist. So you can see these three here.
Yes.
They're completely separate WordPress installs. The top two are multi-site, the bottom one isn't. Yeah. And then each one of those is a Git repo.
I'm explaining what I'm asking. For example, you say you go to the local one,
yeah,
taking a simple example, and you want to install a plugin, but you don't want to be doing the manual updating of everything. Like you went onto the admin and you updated it.
Yeah.
Here. So is that your update process for plugins? That you have to use the WordPress admin to update it? Or would you say, okay, maybe it's better to, if it's Git, just create a submodule to.
You could do that, I suppose. I don't really know a great deal about submodules, but my problem with that is I like having manual control over things which I haven't written.
Okay.
So, especially for WordPress plugins, you can update a plugin and it can.
Yeah, it does sometimes make sense to have different sites actually on different versions of a plugin.
Yeah.
So, whilst it normally would make sense, yeah, you update it once, it goes up to GitHub, and then anything that uses that plugin in your system will get that update. That's not always the best thing to do, particularly if there are dependencies and sometimes a plugin change might break a theme, so you have to wait for the theme to be updated and things like that. So I understand the benefit of the manual. I suppose when the numbers get big, it might become a problem. But
I mean, one of the sites that we run gets, I think on average, around about a million uniques a month. So it's fairly big. And this whole process has completely revitalised that. Entirely revitalised it. We haven't got to worry about backups anymore. We haven't got to worry about live file editing anymore. We haven't got to worry about anything. That has literally, I'm not so much involved in that anymore, but literally changed the whole way they work. Actually think about it. Spend a day and think about it. Look into it.
Cool.
Thank you very much.
Great stuff,
thank you. We'll get this app as well, it's awesome. Plus your Apple TV and everything, it's amazing.
I just thought it was